The House Select Committee had their final hearing this past week before the midterm elections. They used new testimony, evidence to prove their point how Donald Trump knew he had lost the election, but still went forward with efforts to overturn the results, which obviously led to the attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Some of the new information that came out, they had footage of congressional leaders at Fort McNair. Might have seen the video of Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, others. They're at the D.C. Area Army Base. That's where they took refuge during the insurrection, trying to figure out what was happening and why things that should have been happening weren't happening, meaning National Guard, local police, things like that. There was one point in the video, too. Schumer was pretty much just dressing down then-acting Attorney General Jeff Rosen. Why don't you get your boss to do something about this? Well, Rosen had other self-serving goals in mind, so that was not going to happen. And also, too, the period at the end of, well, this sentence at least, will there'll be more sentences. The committee voted to subpoena Donald Trump. I know he's just going to try to run out the clock on that one because should the, as the polls are saying, should the Republicans regain control of the House of Representatives, then that committee goes goodbye. You want to stick a what if in? What if the Democrats hold on to the House? Well, just putting it out there. I think one thing we've come to learn is Cassidy Hutchinson certainly deserves the MVP award for what she contributed to the work of the committee, how she connected all the dots, cleared the path of them to make new discoveries, which led to the conclusion that they can't be dismissed, that Trump wanted violence. He knew that violence was taking place at the Capitol, even though his people are trying to say he didn't. We'll get to that in a moment, too. He demanded to be taken to the Capitol to act as a lord over the violence, I guess you'd say. That's why it was Mike Pence who called for the backup from the National Guard, local law enforcement, for the Capitol Police. That wasn't Trump making any of those phone calls. Had a what-if for you a moment ago. Got a few more what-ifs. What if the guns brought by the Oath Keepers, which we've learned about in their trial, but what if those guns made their way into the Capitol? What if the secure locations, like Fort McNair and places within the Capitol, where members of Congress were in, what if they were found, doors are broken down? What if those congressional pages failed to take those wooden boxes with the electoral ballots in them? And those ballots, those boxes in turn, fell into the hands of the insurrectionists who wanted to destroy them. So there would be no president, at least that's what they were thinking. And they could claim that Trump would have to stay in office. Now, a social media laughing emoji doesn't wash those what-ifs away. Okay, I got one more. Here's the biggest what-if, perhaps. What if next time the plan works? Now, while the members of the January 6th committee made certainly a highly analytical presentation, I think at least it was the injection of heart and emotion which put the power into what was presented. One of those who added the latter has been certainly D.C. police officer Michael Fanone, also has a book out called Hold the Line. We learned this past week that when House GOP Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy finally found some time to meet with Fanone and others, Officer Fanone secretly recorded the meeting. Why? Well, according to Fanone, he didn't trust McCarthy would tell the truth about the meeting. Here's an exchange between Michael Fanone and Kevin McCarthy.
If we don't handle it in a particular way, I don't believe that.
I don't, I mean, unfortunately.
Yeah, treat it like politics, but it just goes.
Listen, Kevin, I agree with you. The problem is, it is political because it happened here on Capitol Hill and it involved a political movement. It involved a group of extremist right wing element of our, you know, American society, which was mobilized by politicians. And that's just a fact.
Here's Kevin McCarthy doing his song and dance.
So I was trying to convey to everybody I know, because they're not inside here, what is happening inside here. And that's when I went on television, too. I said, the president, I wanted to end it.
The mother of Brian Sicknick was also at this meeting, and here's an exchange between her and McCarthy.
He knew what was going on. He knew they were fighting for hours and hours and hours.
Here's Fanone challenging McCarthy about the conspiracy crazies in the GOP.
What I found like most distressing is the comments made by, unfortunately, as a lifelong Republican myself, coming from Republican lawmakers, specifically people like Andrew Clyde, who have made statements about January 6th, which were, I mean, not just shocking, but disgraceful, referring to January 6th as a regular tour day at the Capitol. I mean, what I see happening here is I see lawmakers who don't believe that January 6th is politically advantageous to them. Nobody buys it. It's crap. It's crap. It's disgraceful.
I've never heard you say that you disagree with what they said. I don't believe that. I don't say that.
I mentioned how Fanone has added the heart into this situation. Here's a little bit of that heart.
What I've experienced since then has been horrific. It's hell on earth. I am not a political person. I do not enjoy my time here on Capitol Hill. I would much rather be sitting at home with my daughters drinking a cold beer. But instead, I feel an extension of my service on January 6th to be up here writing this wrong. The president's statements that day were BS. Saying, I mean, you know, you were on the phone with him. While you were on the phone with him, I was getting this kicked out of me, almost losing my life. The way that he, you know, saying this is what happens when you steal an election. Go home. I love you. What the f*** is that? That came from the President of the United States.
Trump also had the U.S. Supreme Court tell him to go away regarding his request for the court to step in and help him out with the FBI and the classified documents they found at Mar-a-Lago. 80-page petition was submitted to the Supreme Court as part of the appeal structure. It went to Justice Clarence Thomas, which gave people cause to pause, thinking, okay, Clarence tossed Ginny. Ginny's out there in the left field with all the conspiracies. No. Even though a lot of people thought Clarence would ride to Trump's rescue, instead Thomas had the full court come into the picture, which is a legitimate procedure in the court process. They responded to those 80 pages with a one-sentence door slammed in Donald Trump's face. Again, I think you'd be getting used to this by now, wouldn't you?